When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
They're going to keep an 11-17 pace all year. This is going to be a long ass season, and I'm not fully ready for it, man. It's like, that's what makes last year so much fun, is that every night it's like, who we whooping tonight, and now it's like, who's whooping us tonight? Because that's kind of what it's felt like.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Red Sox Beat podcast on CLNS Media, your online leading provider of audio video content for Major League Baseball. This is episode 214, which is powered by betonline.ag, your preferred online sportsbook for CLNS Media. Today, we're welcomed by someone who is very familiar to podcasts that you know if you listen to podcasts about the Red Sox at all. It's from Section 10 of Bleacher Report, Steve Peralt. I'm not going to do the same thing Jared does with the whole intro, so you can just start talking now.
That is a great intro. Honestly, I would way rather our intro be like, hey, we're here, you can start talking now. I would way prefer that over what we actually have.
Yeah, I don't need all the theatrics and all that. We can just, you know, get into it, get into some good old-fashioned Red Sox talk, or, you know, they just lost two in a row. So for those that don't know, you guys became a Phoenix Suns podcast called Suns Out, Guns Out at a point. When they were struggling, and now that they're back to losing two in a row, are you going back to more Suns coverage, or are we sticking with the Red Sox?
I mean, the tough part for me is that initially, Jared and I had talked about this like off air. We were like, you know what, like, we're going to have to shuffle this up if this team sucks. If this team actually sucks, then we're going to have to find different ways to mix it up and stay entertaining, because we'll just be miserable if we're constantly talking about the Red Sox. Who are now, what, 11-17, and we realized they just kept losing, which is super not fun. So we're like, you know what, let's try to think of like a random other sports team that has no impact on Boston sports and never has, and that would just kind of be funny to just, you know, shoot the breeze about. Suns, the Phoenix Suns, there we go. They got Charles Barkley back in the day. You got Devin Booker, the Bookman, as we call him now.
Right.
And sure enough, it just kind of worked. And I didn't think we were actually going to do it until the intro. I had prepared. I had done more prep for that Suns show than any show we've ever done.
It's good to know where your priorities sit.
Exactly. But I can obviously talk off the top of the dome for most of the Red Sox stuff. But for the Suns, I had to educate myself. And sure enough, I'm going through Steve Nash's numbers, the difference in his numbers between when he initially was with the Suns, so when he came back with the Suns, Charles Barkley's finals numbers in 93 against Michael Jordan, going over like the best Suns jersey they've ever had. Not going to lie, it was a lot of fun. We only got a couple complaints because we did an entire show about the Suns. Mm-hmm. So if I'm a Red Sox fan and I'm used to listening to Section 10, and luckily, you know, we've been able to build up an audience at this point, I'd be a little pissed off if I got 45 minutes of just Suns talk, which is exactly what happened. But no, I think it was a good show. Luckily, some people that are Suns fans actually let us know they enjoyed it. So we may have to go back to talking about the Suns, because Christopher, if you remember, we did the Suns Out, Guns Out show and the Red Sox swept the Rays.
Right.
So if we go back to talking Suns, then they might actually start winning more games.
Yeah. Turn things around. So now that we have another sweep this weekend, I think, you know, it's just natural that you have to go back and talk about Zion or whatever overrated Duke player they're going to pick, and with their first round pick, are they the best lottery chances? I have no idea. But you, yeah, as a lifelong Suns fans, would know.
Oh, dude, I've been following the Suns for forever. Hold on to your buns, because we're talking Suns. We're tied with the Cavaliers and the New York Knickerbockers with 14% chance to get the top pick, which would obviously be Zion Williamson. Even though
Kobe Phoenix, White.
Yeah, I was going to say, even though between, yeah, your UNC boy and Ja Morant, somebody, I don't know who within the organization in the PHX is saying that we would rather have Ja Morant than Zion Williamson, but apparently that rumor was thrown out there last week. So I would like to strongly deny that that has any legs whatsoever. Zion Williamson would 100% be the pick if we're lucky enough here in Phoenix to get that top selection.
Yeah, that's 3 minutes too long of NBA talk on this on this Red Sox show. We're not sellouts here who just, you know, leave the team when they're struggling. So as a Red Sox fan, as someone who talks about the team most weeks, if, you know, apparently if they're only good, what have your takeaways been from this month? I think, you know, I wrote, this is basically exactly 1 month. April 28th is the 1 month, I guess, anniversary of this, you know, year, which has been a disaster in a lot of ways and very inconsistent. I think, you know, they were really bad to start. And then the last few weeks has just been two steps forward, two steps back. If something, you know, if they're clicking on offense, their pitching is terrible. If they're clicking with pitching, then they're making errors like yesterday with Devers. So what has been your just general takeaway from the actual Red Sox and not the Suns?
Yeah, I mean, we can talk Suns whenever you want, so let me know. But the Red Sox, the killer for me is that last year, and we knew coming into this year, you weren't going to get another 108 win team. I was, you know, saying prediction wise, I would have been glad with upper 90s competing for the division once again, preferably in a race with the Yankees, because that's always good for content. But the vibe just feels off. The general vibe feels off. And I understand if you're losing games, it's not going to feel all dandy. But it's just like everyone's kind of looking over their shoulder, like, who's going to be the guy to save us? And this last weekend, it's very noticeable with JD out of the lineup. Very noticeable. They scored 3 runs total. I know they only played 2 games, but the offense was just not there. You know, you'd have a couple random hits here and there, and you're not stringing anything together. Mookie, who was getting pretty hot, I know he had the solo homer, but he's still not fully himself yet. JBJ, my God, he is so, so useless at the plate. And it's for the majority of his career, it's been like that. And I was talking with my dad, and I feel like we've had the same conversation for the last 4 years, being like, I'm totally fine when this guy's gone. And that's really saying something considering how good his glove is, because he might as well be a pitcher at the plate. The base is loaded on Saturday. You're down 1 in the 8th. You need to do something there. You absolutely need to do something there. And the fact that I fully expected him to strike out, and then he struck out, kind of sums up JBJ's season and, for the most part, his career at the plate in Boston. So it's just not – the consistency is not there. They're accountable, which I guess has some weight, but at a certain point, it's like, okay, sweet. You say you suck, but let's figure it out. Let's turn this around. Chris Sale is the ultimate confusing process. I don't know what's going on there. I understand his last 2 starts – he gives up 2 earned in each, which is not that bad. Strikeouts about 9 per game in the last couple starts. So it's the Ks are getting up there. The velocity is still not fully there. If you're not throwing 98 miles an hour, guys can sit on the slider. As filthy as that pitch is, they're not going to be as buckled by it. So there's a lot of little things that just aren't clicking. When the offense is doing well, the bullpen gives up game-tying home runs like Matty Backpack Barnes there. And the rhythm's just not there. It's just when they're trying to piece it together, when they're trying to put that full game, like they haven't had one of those, like Bill Belichick, like we put a full, you know, 60 minutes, like they haven't had that full performance yet. And it's really, really frustrating as a fan, because this is basically the same team, and you lose Kimbrel, but that the closer position hasn't really hurt you this year. If you had told us that they were 11-17, we would have been like, the closer position's probably been a nightmare, but it really hasn't. Like, Brazier's been fine. Barnes, when he's in there as closer, he's been fine. So the closer position's been fine. Joe Kelly has a 10 ERA or whatever in LA, so don't tell me that that's the difference.
It's a great investment right there.
Oh, my God. So it's like, it's very confusing to try to find out exactly what the issue is, but I think it's just a culmination of a ton of different things.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on, you know, Bradley. We've seen him be this for a while, and then he'll hit 500 for a month stretch, and then everybody thinks he's great offensively, changed his swing. I think something that really stood out over the weekend, 2 things. Yesterday, you know, that homer Sale gives up in the first inning, Daniel Robertson, who was betting about 160. They say,
yeah, whoever that guy is, that guy's the most made up guy ever.
Beat you. That's the key.
as they say. Yeah.
And then, you know, when, especially with JD out, you looked at that bottom part of the lineup the other day. It was Pierce, who's hitting 100, yeah. JBJ, and then either Leon or Vasquez. You know, they're talking about Vasquez with the bat coming alive. I don't see it really. And you just have this kind of black hole for seven through nine that you really didn't have last year. You had a deeper lineup, and it's been crazy. You know, we're recording this on Monday, heading into three game series against Oakland, who the Red Sox have played badly against for the last 2 years, and then a seven game road trip to Chicago and Baltimore, where this is what the Red Sox did so well last year. They beat up on the bad teams. They were 16-3 against the Orioles. They, you know, I don't know what their record was against teams under 500, but it's really where they rallied, you know, and tacked on a huge amount of those 108 wins. So a good chance for them to do it. But every time they've had a good chance, with a four game series against Detroit, they just haven't been able to put it together. So inconsistent, but at least April is coming to an end if there's any silver lining.
The tough part for me, because I mean, I've done this my entire life, and I think naturally as baseball people, we do this over the course of a 162 game season. You start looking at the schedule being like, all right, when do we have some bunnies? Like when is so-and-so coming to town that we can really beat up on? And I got to correct myself now and look at the Red Sox. It's like, wait a second. We're the bunny. Like, we're the team that people want to face right now, which is insane. Like, looking at their schedule, you know, the A's are no scrubs. They could easily come in here and win a series. Coming off of the Tigers series, you thought you were going to win that. You end up splitting that because that doubleheader day was miserable. Then they're going to Chicago.
That was probably the most miserable day of baseball of all time.
Oh, dude. The weather couldn't be. Yeah.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah, everything was awful. But then you look further ahead, and it's like, all right, at Chicago, at Baltimore, in theory, you should, you know, win the majority of those games. But I don't have a lot of confidence in that either. So that's the tough part, is that, like you said, I mean, we're a full month into the season, and you have a really good feel normally what your team is at this point. If this is what the team is, yikes, this is not a good look at all.
And it doesn't make sense, because it's not like there's any overhaul or these guys suddenly got bad.
It doesn't add up. Overnight. It really doesn't add up. That's what sucks the most part, is it doesn't add up.
And so for you, I mean, this is something that people have asked me with business, you know, writing for Mass Live and everything, is this bad for business when the team's bad? And I say, no, actually, the people really were interested and wanted to read as much as they could when they were winning 108 games. And now that they're bad and there's a lot of questions, they want those questions answered and want to read. So on your end for Section 10, does this affect business negatively, or is it, you know, for you enjoyable to kind of talk about the negatives?
I see the positive side of it, but I still hate it, because for multiple reasons, obviously, as a fan, it's just very frustrating tuning in every night and seeing the same old, same garbage. But I mean, as much of a joke as it may sound, the Suns out, guns out thing is like very funny to me. And like, the people engage with it, and we were selling shirts. And so like, you get to do this, you get to do stupid stuff like this that you would never do if the team was doing what they did last year and we did a Suns podcast, we'd get killed. Like that would be
deservedly so.
Yeah. And deservedly so, because it would be extremely moronic. But I mean, it becomes a thing where I enjoy getting creative and mixing it up and finding different ways to entertain people on the show. And it makes us get more creative, that's for sure. Whether it's good for business or not is kind of hard to pinpoint, because I think it's just overall better when the team is doing well and we can all, as like a unit, like us, everyone that listens to the show, Red Sox fans, it all feels like this battle that we go up against Yankee fans, against the fans that come in from opposing teams. It's like you have a specific team yourself that's supporting the Red Sox, supporting the podcast. And that wave of support and passion is not quite the same when you're 11-17 and struggling to even stay within, you know, within reach of the Yankees, of the Rays, of whoever the other wild card teams are. That kind of sucks. That kind of sucks when the team is not even within like two or three games, and you can at least kind of shrug your shoulders and say, well, all things considered, it's been a bad start, this, that, and the third, but we're a month in and we're within a series reach of a playoff spot. They're not even that right now. So that does make it kind of difficult when we're trying to attract a new audience every season. We're trying to build on the audience that we made and that we got the previous season. So I would say there are some positives, because we get to mess around and do stuff we don't normally do, like the Suns thing, but overall, it's better for business if the team is winning games.
Yeah, and I agree. I think, you know, we've seen, you know, people love to complain as much as possible and you know, fill Twitter mentions with suggestions for me. Like, I can go to Cora and write his lineup out. And
that is always that's is a the great dumb, part. It is so dumb. And like, we'll get that too, being like, you know, honestly, like, I'm shocked that he's not moving up Pierce to the second spot. I think that would really get his bat all heated up. And most of our listeners, actually the vast majority, don't sound like that, but it just makes the quote better. They might sound like, who knows? You never really know. But yeah, there are some suggestions that it's like, A, yes, that this is going, it's going nowhere. You're speaking this into the universe thinking that it's going to end up in Cora's front desk. That's not how this works. Mm-hmm. And B, at the end of the day, like, I really don't care about hypothetical solutions. I think they're stupid for the most part. I would rather look at, you know, data we've gotten, results we've gotten, and kind of try to gauge where the team's going, where they, you know, may be able to improve, maybe switch this guy with that, like having Mookie bat lead off again, stuff like that. But I love when the people send in messages and like voicemails, be like, guys, I have the solution. And they're like moving the lineup all over the place. They're having Sale become like the seventh inning guy. And it's like, no, this is not how you solve the issues with the team. You got to ride this out and hope that you hit a rhythm coming up here in May.
Yeah, the one time I did EEI in spring training, someone called in and suggested, because the bullpen was going to look weak, to do the same thing they did in the playoffs and just have every starter's side session be in the eighth inning of real games.
It just doesn't work like that. It doesn't. So, I mean, luckily, it is crazy, man, to think that this was the same team. Because, like, you and I mean, we probably, we met last season, I would say, and started our relationship that way. It was, everything was dandy. It was like every single time after every series, it felt like worst case they won 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4. And now it's best case they're winning 2 out of 3. So I don't know. It really does suck to watch. And it's not fun, especially when, I mean, I know you write for the team. I'm covering the team as a fan and for the podcast and also doing stuff with Bleacher Report. And this takes up a lot of time, as you're well aware of. Like, 162 game season is insane. Like, if you drop us on the earth and said, hey, your favorite game is going to be 162 game season, I'd be like, nah, I'm out. I'm not doing that. But we're so pot committed now that that every single night, man, it's like, that's what makes last year so much fun, is that every night it's like, who we whooping tonight? And now it's like, who's whooping us tonight? Because that's kind of what it's felt like.
I think for me, something that was really interesting to join when I joined the beat was, you know, obviously I'd heard of Section 10. I knew Jared before. But to kind of come in and come back from school in the South and not really know about the popularity of you guys, and then come back, and this is not to stroke your ego at all, though I'm sure you really appreciate that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, more, please.
Yeah, okay, I'll keep going. I just kind of the popularity that you guys have had, especially last year. You know, I tell the story when people ask, like, are people really that into it? And it was in September, you guys were out on Jersey Street. And I think, like, Stephen Wright, Heath Hembree, and Barnes just walked out, like, right after a game against the Mets. And they're just walking out. And Stephen Matz or someone from the Mets walked out of the other door. And they're just walking down the street. And no one's going up to them. And there's a line of 50 people to talk to you clowns. directly after one of these games. And I'm like, what is this bizarro world? And you and I have talked about that kind of thing too, where it's like, how is this, you know, how did this happen? So
it's, yeah. Yeah. I think it's something that, there are times where I need to kind of, you know, sit back and be like, whoa, this is kind of nuts. Like the first one that really hit me that it was crazy was when we did a live show at, Cask and Flagon before game two of the ALCS. And that was wild. That was something that I never really expected, but also kind of did. Like, going into it was just such a let's hope this goes well kind of thing. We had planned out a good show. We had really put a lot of work into it. Cask and Flagon had hired like people that were going to set up our stage and everything. And so many things went wrong in that show, but that also kind of gave it an authentic Section 10 feel, where it's like, we're not always perfect. There are going to sometimes be some technical difficulties. And yet everyone was just riding with us. Like the place was packed. People knew the ad reads that we were doing. They were yelling out catchphrases we had. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of stuff. I mean, that's crazy.
Must have done a good job hiring actors to come in there. And
I mean, like that. They filled the place with people, and they just gave them Section 10 shirts, and I applaud them for doing that.
They flew them up from Phoenix for
it. Dude, and they threw away all the Sun stuff. They said that's going to be useful next season, not this year. But no, that passion is, like, irreplaceable for me. That's kind of why we put the amount of time that we put into it, because there's a legitimate audience, and they care a lot about the product. And I think back to your question earlier, this is so Manhattan, the sirens, you can never get away from it. But back to your question earlier, that's why I would way rather, and not just as a fan, but as, you know, doing the podcast, I'd rather we have a battle right now, Yankees, Red Sox, you know, one game lead, two game lead, oh my God, they're tied again. Like, that kind of stuff is so good for the live shows. It's so good for content at Barstool, you know, with Hubs and Jared and the back and forth that creates with the vlog we're trying to do this year. So the passion is always there, and that's something I'm very appreciative of. But if we got to do a whole season of this crap, like if they're going to keep an 11-17 pace all year, this is going to be a long ass season. And I'm not fully ready for it, to be honest. Like I'm not fully ready to be doing, because like today's show, we're recording Section 10 after this. It's going to be depressing as hell. And and there are ways we can try to spice it up, but I don't want to give people two depressing shows every week for the next 4 months. So hopefully they can turn it around, because that's what the people want. Got to give the people what they want.
Speaking of that, here's my ad read. It's already springtime in Boston. The Red Sox season is underway. The Red Sox have obviously begun their quest in not so great of a way for another world championship. So none of us are major leaguers, and we can't get in on the action that way. So a good way to do it is by going online and betting. There's only one place to share in the wins with the Red Sox, by grabbing the odds and allowing the experts at betonline.ag. That's AG. I was going to go for a Phoenix Suns player with the initials, but I don't have one. .ag, nope. Like Attorney General, they can do the heavy lifting for you. They have sports, live betting, virtual casino, anything you want. BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag. If you're feeling lucky and would like to support our podcast, go to clnsmedia.com/SoxBeat. That's SOXBEAT. And use the promo code CLNS50 for that 50% sign-up bonus. CLNS50 on BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. As a podcast expert, how was that ad read?
It's not that bad. It needs like a catchphrase. I did like
bang, bang,
the
skeet, skeet.
Yeah, if you like with bang bang skeet skeet, would have been totally fine. Or being like trying to find a great place to gamble can be a confusing process. I mean, that's kind of like a copyright issue, but
right.
I honestly think
we
want to
get the lawyers involved here.
No, I know, and our lawyers are strong. I honestly think that was good. I mean, I think you assume too much by saying none of us here are major leaguers, because who maybe a major leaguer's listening? You don't know. I think that's something that surprised us with Section 10. You'll get like Durbin Feltman listens to the show. And granted, he's not a major leaguer, but soon to be. So you never know who listens. Right. But yeah, I think it was good. I think maybe like a catchphrase in the middle would be good. But yeah, I liked it.
All right, I'll work on it for next week. I think, you know, when you talk about the major leaguers, and yeah, I feel like even the pendulum kind of swung for you guys even just last year. Like I remember, you know, seeing your guests, and you had people like Drellick and writers and stuff. And as the season, you know, wore on, you were having the biggest names for the Red Sox and Cora and Dombrowski and, you know, Pedro recently and all this stuff. And for you, I know for me, it's been kind of surreal being around a lot of people and interviewing people that were important to my childhood and everything. But being able to get these guests, I think, is that something you would have envisioned when you started?
No, definitely not. We started in Pete Blackburn's mom's basement, and it sounds crappy by that description, but it actually is it was a nice kind of studio setup they had down there. The funny thing about that I loved is that we'd have people like, you know, Kirk Minahan and Jim Murray and James Stewart. I don't know if Tony Maz made it down there. I know we've had Tony on, but we had a lot of Boston, you know, beat writers and radio guys that were coming into Pete's mom's basement to record a show. And that's when I think that's when I realized that they knew that it had value, because they wouldn't waste their time doing that if they didn't think it was a legitimate thing. So
they wouldn't make the long trek down the stairs.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I'm telling you, this, luckily he lived in what was it, Waltham? I forget where he was, but he was only like 20 minutes from where a lot of the studios are, whether it's in Brighton or wherever. So it's not like it's the longest trip for these guys, but like I knew once we started getting those kind of guests that we could build on it. Did I think it would end up being J.D. Martinez in the dugout before game one against the Yankees? Hell no. There was no way I thought that was going to happen. But to your point, yeah, we built a lot of momentum last year. It was that team was amazing. And we tried to, you know, hop on their back and really give the best content we possibly could during the course of the season. It helps that you have the Barstool backing. That's very important. But I would like to think we've built the vast majority of our audience off of just working our tails off and getting to this point, creating relationships. It helps that Jerry's been doing this. He has a head start on me, man. He's been doing this for a long time, not podcasting, but he's the kid had a YouTube show when he was, you know, as scrawny as could be back in the day and saw, I guess, high. So he really kind of built up, he got the wave going, let's put it that way, and built his audience. And led that into Section 10 with Pete and Jared, and then I joined around Episode 11, and we've done about 240 since then. So it's been a wild ride, but yeah, there are times where I definitely need to kind of step back and be like, this is really cool. Like, we're just kind of shooting the breeze with Pedro Martinez. This is pretty awesome. So that is definitely a part of it where you need to just realize that it's pretty cool the access that we get.
And how have you seen the organization embrace that access or change it or give you guys more? It seems like, you know, I talked to Jared a couple years ago about, you know, not being credentialed. Now he's on the field before in a lot of the weekend games, and you guys are in the dugout, stuff like that. How have they, you know, come around in that way?
I think Jared has been very smart in how he approaches it. He's good at building relationships within the organization. My relationship with him, I mean, there are a lot of times I want to kill him, right. But that's kind of, we've been married for 3 years, 4 years now, so that's kind of what happens. But
More than the average American couple, I think.
Exactly. So I'm glad we've made it this long. But he knows. Thank you very much. He knows how to build relationships within the organization. He's been very smart about that. Sam Kennedy's been awesome in this whole process. And Kevin Gregg, head of media relations, just turned 39. Happy birthday, Kevin. He's been huge as well. So there, you need to have the right relationships with the right people. And we also need to be as professional as we can be when we get the access, because we know more ears. I was going to say more ears are tuning in. That makes no sense. I'm going to stick with it. But more ears are tuning in when we get like a JD or, you know, Moreland or Cora.
Chris Cotillo.
Chris Cotillo. Exactly. Yeah. When we get these stars, that is when we have more people listening in, especially within the organization, because there was a segment, and I'm kind of glad that it's gone because my dad listens more now, so I don't really need him to hear this. But we had like side boob or under boob was a question. That was the first question we would ask any guest. Very much a Jared question. I would never ask that. But once we started getting guests, players and people in the dugout, we're like, yeah, let's retire the side boob, under boob thing. Maybe we don't want to do that. So we got rid of that. I don't know. We just kind of cleaned it up a little bit and made it more of a I'd say more of a PG podcast, which is necessary when you're interviewing the players and when you're in the dugout and you get that access. So I think all in all, it's been great that we've gotten the access, but we've done our best to not lose that, because as hard as it was to get it, it can be very easy to lose it. So we're trying to be as professional as we can be, which can be tough for some of us at times.
Yeah. And, obviously something that's taken off and, you know, if, like I said, the Chris Cotillo show has a lot of potential. So let me know and I will I'll check my schedule and see if we can talk some Suns and I can get Kobe White to join your boys.
That's what we need. We need you to first off be available. I know you're a very, very busy man. Secondly, if you could bring us a potential Suns prospect in the upcoming draft, that would, I think, put you over the top. That's right. Where it's like a guaranteed interview. Mm-hmm. But without the Suns podcast, I mean, or a prospect rather, you'd have to really, really differentiate yourself. Maybe if you could go out there and hit 300, then we would have you on the show. But until then, you'd have to get to like Evan Drellick level status to get on. So you'd have to be unemployed is what I'm saying.
Low blow. Oh, we knew it was coming, but it's still hard to hear.
It was there. But Evan's like, he's kind of employed, right? He's doing the Red Sox review. I think he's really good at that.
Yeah, I heard him the other day. This was my favorite line I've heard on radio in a while. Red Sox lose a doubleheader to Detroit. They've hit bottom. Speaking of hitting rock bottom, I'm Evan Drellick. This is Red Sox review. So
I'll give Evan credit. He's the most self-aware guy, and that's very important in this industry because there are a lot of people that aren't self-aware. So I'll give him credit for that. But no, Evan's gonna be fine. But he's built for that kind of stuff. I just want him to stay because he's our guy. So I don't want him to get hired by like the friggin' Royals or something, like the Royals beat. Like I want to make sure he stays in this region. So that is very important.
Well, maybe we will do a dual show with both of you at some point so you can profess your love some more.
Yes, that would be great. That would be dandy. All right.
I know you get Section 10 to record, but thank you for joining Red Sox Beat this week. Enjoy Chicago. The boys from Section 10 will be out for some reason at, what is it, Guarantee Rate Field this weekend.
Dude, it is by far the dumbest named park of them all. And the park sucks, too. So, like, it's not the best part of Chicago. The name of the park sucks, and the park sucks, and the team sucks. So, can't wait. I can't wait to be out there. It's going to be a lot of fun. Chicago's a great place. But, we're trying to do, like, one road trip a month, preferably where the Red Sox are traveling. So this is the one for May. It's going to be the beginning of May at the end of this week. And the Sox battle, a huge rivalry, rivalry that goes way, 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 way back. So we're excited for this rivalry and really can't wait. And go Red Sox.
Yeah. That's as an unbiased, impartial media reporter, I appreciate your fandom, but cannot participate. So
that's fine. I understand.
Well, thanks for coming on, Steve.